Okay, our next presenter is James Flock from the U.S. Geological Survey. And I'll give you his introduction. James Flock has been a geologist with the USGS Florida Integrated Science Center for 15 years and is the lead investigator for seafloor and sub-bottom assessments for the Coastal and Watershed Studies team. His main research focuses on geological framework in coastal zones, shoreline evolution and erosion, sediment resources, and contaminant inventories in marine and lacustrine environments. Currently, he is working in Louisiana and Mississippi studying the influence of prehistoric landscapes on modern barrier island development, stability, and fate. His work in Florida includes geophysical examination of the Florida aquifer, the Lake Belt District, and numerous central Florida lakes and streams to identify linkages between surface and groundwater systems. He's also conducted numerous mapping surveys of the seafloor and sub-bottom of Florida's coast using remote sensing and direct sampling techniques. And his presentation today is entitled The Use of Seismic Profiling to Identify Subsurface Fluid Migration Pathways at Proposed Mine Sites in Florida, USA.
Thank you. I was asked to introduce a technology that we use at the USGS to look at subsurface features using acoustic profiling called seismic profiling. This is just one tool that we've been using in our toolbox to complete comprehensive assessments of the subsurface. And as we go through this presentation, I'd like for you all to keep that in mind that there's a lot of other tools to use to look at the big picture. For those of you who are not familiar with the USGS, we are part of the Department of the Interior. We are entirely a scientific research branch of the Interior. We do not issue permits or enforce regulations. That allows us to provide unbiased and relevant science, at least we hope it's relevant, and that's part of our mission statement. Here in Florida, we have offices across the state. Most of these offices are part of the Water Resource Division. We have our closest office would be Fort Myers. The USGS is divided into four divisions, the Geologic Division, which I'm a part of, Biology, Water, and Mapping. And in Florida, we have biology offices in Gainesville and St. Pete. The GD office is in St. Pete as well. And then the other offices are water resources. Most of you are already familiar with karst topography in Florida. I won't spend too much time on this other than atmospheric carbon dioxide mixes with rainwater, produces carbonic acid. Florida is a limestone platform. You mix acid with basic and you get dissolution. And pay attention to some of these features we see in the subsurface. Typically, the limestone is overlain by overburden, clays and gravel and such. And beneath that, once the water percolates through that overburden, it begins to attack the limestone. And you get a variety of dissolution features such as pipes, sinkholes, and other karst surfaces such as caverns and the like. So if we did have an expression of the karst at the surface, it would look something like this. This is a road cut up in the Appalachians. These are limestone beds, and you can see various fractures within the limestone and long bedding planes within the limestone. Associated with dissolution of the limestone by rainwater, and then infilling of the features. Since Florida doesn't have road cuts, you can look at a satellite photo of the state, and of course, notice all the lakes. These are sinkhole associated with. But also notice there's not a lot of streams and rivers. Most of the drainage is below ground, and this is evidenced by this cut in a quarry. This is a cut face. And you see a very large sinkhole that has been infilled over time. So how can we see these features below ground since we don't have road cuts and we don't have quarries all over the place? One of the tools is seismic profiling. And basically, it's similar to radar, where we emit an acoustic pulse. This sound travels to the seafloor and below the seafloor, and like radar, echoes off features that it passes. Basically, it's looking at changes in density, and when it hits a density change, it will send back an echo. This echo returns to the surface, where we pick it up on microphones and send it back to a computer that processes the signal and provides us with something like this. This is a single, what we call a shot, or a single sound pulse, traveling through the water column, hits the seafloor, returns back an echo as an amplitude change, and then several amplitude changes below that associated with the lithology. As we continue along, we start stacking up these signals. And so this is just a series of these traces stacked up together, and you can start to see some patterns in the amplitude changes. And we can process those patterns out with various filtering algorithms, and it shows up as a seismic profile against the seafloor. These are various layers beneath the seafloor. And we continue this process over a large area. We do numerous track lines and, in general, produce a two-dimensional profile of the sub-bottom. So here we have a seafloor, a very strong reflector. This would be about 4 or 5 meters. And then some high-angle reflectors below that represent, in this case, they represent a river channel. We have different types of seismic profilers. This is a chirp system. It's a high frequency. This is what we call a boomer system. It's a lower frequency. It's basically an electromagnetic plate that creates a sound source. The chirp system is a transducer source, similar to a pedometer system in a fishing boat. Seismic profiling is not new. It's been in the oil industry for generations. Typically, they look miles below the surface, and they utilize 100-foot vessels. They pull hydrophone cables that are mile long. What we've been trying to do is miniaturize the system so that we can use it in smaller and smaller water bodies. This is a system we developed for canals. This is the Miami Canal down outside of Miami. We put our system onto a John boat, a little power supply, processing equipment. This is our boomer sled towed behind us. And using this method, we've surveyed numerous places around the state. These areas are shown in red off of Tampa Bay and in Tampa Bay. We've done a lot of work down in the Keys. And some work up in Peace River, Caloosahatchee, off the East Coast. I'll show some examples from here, and St. John's River. Within the St. John's area, we conducted surveys of over 35 water bodies, mainly lakes, but also some streams. They're shown outlined in yellow in this aerial satellite aerial photography. I'll get into some examples of what we can see using this technology. This is a crescent spring off of St. Augustine. The spring is shown in this illustration here. It's a pretty narrow spring vent with a freshwater plume. In fact, if you've been out here, you can see the water plume at the surface. Oh, I'm sorry, can you hear me? Crescent spring, you can, the water's pluming at the surface. In fact, in history, they say that the old sailing vessels used to sail up to this spring, and that's how they get fresh water. If you notice in this illustration, there's a very large subsidence-looking feature next to the spring. It's a sinkhole that has been buried. We know it's been buried because the surface layers have been truncated, and then horizontal layers have been deposited on top of that. These are recent marine sediments. which give us an idea of how old the sinkhole is and whether or not it's still active. We can also see numerous fracture features associated with the subsidence of the stratigraphy over time. We know this because we were able to collect seismic profiles of the area. This is the collection of traces that I showed earlier. Again, here's a seafloor, here's a spring vent. We were even able to pick up the freshwater plume emanating from the vent, and we were able to see all the lithologies associated with the Ocala limestone and Hawthorne formations. And the reason why I'm showing this is because it's important to understand that even though we have a very flat, seemingly nondescript surface here, below surface, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of karst features that have tremendous impact on water flow. This is just a gridded surface of the seafloor. So this is the seafloor here. This surface here relates to this horizon. And there's a lot of communication between the groundwater coming from the land, migrating offshore, working its way up this vent system, and emanating at the surface. And this works in the reverse, too. We have a lot of places where we have surface water draining down into the groundwater. So it's important to understand this relationship between surface water and groundwater. Bringing it inland, this is an example from a lake near Orlando. This is Lake Jessup. We conducted some seismic surveys in this lake. And these are two example profiles that correspond to this line here and this line here, basically crossing each other in the center of the lake. Here's the lake bottom. And you can see in the subsurface these down-dipping reflectors in the seismic profiles represent lithologies that have been altered, have subsided over time. There's some dissolution features in there as well. And in fact, by conducting numerous surveys, we can start to highlight features within the lake that are associated with known karst features such as sinkholes and dissolution pipes, and map these out. And this is important not only to understand the nature of the lake, but in any sort of modeling scheme where they look at groundwater, surface water interaction, they need to have a quantifiable input as to how much water's making the transition and where is that occurring. This is an example from a river, also up by Orlando. This is Wakaiva River. We ran some lines down the center of the river, and this is the surface, the bottom of the river up here. And again, these down-dipping reflectors, these high-angle reflectors in the subsurface correspond to various dissolution and subsidence features. Well, seismic profiling is a very useful tool to image the subsurface, but it doesn't really tell us tangibly what we're looking at. We see a lot of lines and a lot of changes in patterns, but we don't know if we're looking at clays or limestone. To do that, we need to do invasive techniques such as borehole drilling and then correlate that to the seismic. And one example of that is this profile down Indian River Lagoon. The black line represents a seismic profile. The blue line represents a series of wells that have been drilled adjacent to the lagoon. And some analytical data has been pulled up from these wells. And they identify what lithologic units we're looking at. And we're looking at the Ocala limestone and the Hawthorne formation above that. And they also show us that there is this down-dipping pattern to the rock units, and we see that in the corresponding seismic. Once we know that, we can assign names to our units. And then the benefit of going with the seismic profiles after that is this is a costly and time-intensive method. Once we can tie it into the seismic, we then can run lines onshore and offshore and map this out a lot more efficiently. So again, it's a useful tool, but you also need other techniques to complement it. That's going to do its own thing here. So just to tie this in with what's happened today, what we've been talking about is, you know, I know this is a little bit maybe too much technique, but you need to understand what's going on below the surface and how that is related to the drainage patterns at the surface. And there's numerous things we're doing, not just coring, but overburden, retention ponds, faulty drainage situations where we're altering the groundwater patterns, the drainage patterns. For example, this is a quarry where they've taken the overburden off, and it shows very clearly that it's a high permeability, I guess I'd call it, below the overburden. And so that's something that needs to be taken into account. I can't talk that fast.
So was that the Winter Park sinkhole that was flashing before our eyes?
Yes, yes. There's Peace River, and there's Winter Park. Peace River was showing in drought conditions that the river is draining underground. Winter Park is a sinkhole I have heard is related to a faulty drain in a swimming pool. These are all alterations of subsurface features through enhanced dissolution, and these are just some of the things we need to consider when we look at changing the landscape. And again, one way we can get at some of the information about what's going on beneath our feet is through these various techniques, such as seismic profiling. And that's all I have to show you. I just wanted to leave these up here. These are some contacts in Florida of our, I'm at Geologic Division in St. Pete, and our sister offices, WRD offices, are in Fort Myers and Fort Lauderdale. And these are some contacts if you all have any more questions about this technique. And then our FISC, we are all one big happy family known as the Florida Integrated Science Center. Our headquarters are in Orlando, and our director is Barry Rosen. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Have you done any studies in mine areas to see if the subsurface structure has been changed?
The studies we've been conducting are looking at groundwater surface water interactions. Whether they are in mine.
How you guys actually do your projects, I think that will help answer the question.
Geologic Division is.
Use the mic.
No, I'm sorry.
Hello.
Geologic Division is project oriented from the top. We have a national prospectus that identifies areas of scientific need, and these programs loosely define key questions that need to be answered. And one I'm working on now is shoreline impact due to storm increases. One in Florida was groundwater surface water interactions. So we don't necessarily go out and look at mine impacts. We look at groundwater surface water interactions as a result of landscape alterations. And that's how we did all the surveys in north central Florida. So we haven't specifically gone and done any mine impact studies.
This technique can apply on the single family sinkhole evaluation.
I think he's asking if it can be like a small scale.
Single family house, yeah.
there would be cost issues. It's typically, if you're looking around a house, you need land-based seismic profiling. Everything I've shown you has been water-based and rivers and creeks and streams, and land-based seismic profiling gets pretty expensive. So,
well, I think this is a related question, and that would be, it's kind of a two-part question, and obviously you've named two types of studies that you've done that are of national interest at a Florida level. So how would concerned residents of Florida and other concerned individuals approach USGS to do a similar study, say, of current mine sites in Florida to determine whether or not the actual mined pits, which are water filled, are interacting with subsurface features? In other words, are there in fact subsurface karst features underlying these mine sites that may in fact represent, you know, breaches in the liquefying layers? And if the, you know, the citizens of Florida wanted to see USGS do some type of study like that, how would it be approached? Through their congressman, or through you know, the federal level or the state level? Or?
Well, certainly you come in from the top down. That's has worked efficiently in the past, but I left this up here for a reason, and our water resources division is locally involved and looks at water dynamics, and you can approach WRD and bring the issue up as a water issue. That is their mission, is to monitor water quality and flows, and that would be a much more direct approach than trying to go up through the federal legislature and have it come back down to us.
So then the second part of that question is, if you've got a series of mines that are, say, for example, roughly 250 acres in size, 300 acres in size, and you've got one, you know, up in maybe Citrus and Levy County, and then you've got another one in Lee County and another one in Putnam County, and you want to look at, you want USGS to assist you in looking at the features within these mine pits, which are water filled, for an individual mine that might be a 250 to 300 acre mine site, what kind of field time would it require, do you think, to actually collect the seismic data? And I realize there's a lot of analysis.
The field work is relatively quick. You could probably do some of the mine from the photographs I've seen this morning, or you can survey those areas in a couple days, and then processing would take up to a month. So you're looking at several months from out the door to product.
There's one over here.
I was just curious if this seismic profiling will allow you to judge lateral transmission of water through a layer, water moving horizontally as opposed to up and down, and does it give you that kind of indication of like the porosity of the rock and things like that?
The seismic profiling component would be to identify the physical features below ground, and then you would use another tool. Someone is giving a talk on die tracing after this,
right.
You would use something like that to monitor flow. You'd look at flow and boreholes or things like that.
But a physical feature below, like in the limestone of the EAA, for example, what would you find with this?
If you covered an area with a seismic grid, you can grid the subsurface features, the large pockets, drainage features in 3D. You can
actually
quantify that.
Spaces, but not necessarily the materials or details of the material.
You can pull some information out from the seismic based on the amplitude, on what the material is, the consolidation, and the lithology, especially if you have borehole constraints to tie to the seismic.
Right.
So you can look at that to look at.
You can match it with your
core sample?
Yes, yes.
Last question.
What's the ratio for the geological future to the depth of the detection? The size of the future into the depth of this?
The boomer system, electromagnetic plate, you can look 100 meters and with a meter resolution. With the chirp system, maybe 50 meters with about half a meter resolution.
Okay. Was the Lake Jessica
reclaimed Lake Jessica? As far as I know, it's a natural lake. You had a question in the back, Blue. You're done?
Anybody else? Time for one more?
I do. Is this the predictive tool that you use as citizens are interested in the groundwater impacts of mining, or is there a better tool? And is the data available for citizens when they want to participate in understanding the impacts of mining, a predictive tool as opposed to a after-the-fact measurement tool?
Well, no one tool is going to be the magic tool. You're going to have to throw the book at it. You're going to have to take cores and use seismic profiling. This is less expensive. It's quicker. It's becoming more and more developed and used by contractors and other agencies. So it is certainly a useful tool, but it's not the only tool. Does that help? Or?
Are there formations that you would depict with this technology where you would not want to have a rock mine?
I would certainly use this seismic profiling to identify karst topography and argue that that would be a dangerous site for mining because of the communication between the groundwater and the rivers. So for a pre-assessment tool, you could possibly go in and identify areas where you have a more consistent acoustic pattern and say, okay, there's not a lot of caverns down there, there's not a lot of conduits, this might be more favorable for mining in this area.
Take one more and then
all right, one more. Yeah. It's hard to see. I apologize, but these represent surfaces. The limestone is created on a two-dimensional plane. It's over time stacked up marine material that has been cemented and consolidated. This whole profile should be a bunch of layers, horizontal layers like pancakes. So when you have down-dripping reflectors and these prominent reflectors dropping down and then coming back up, you're looking at subsidence and fracturing. If you remember that road cut, you see these horizontal, you see your vertical dissolution pipes, but you see these horizontal dissolution features as well. This is a change, represents a change in density that would show up as very prominent in the seismic profile.
Are those bedding plants?
Yeah, well, it's enhanced dissolution along bedding surfaces. So what you would see in the profile is an enhanced amplitude reflector, and if you remember that profile I just showed, you saw those reflectors going, you know, parallel and then dropping down. That whole surface can be considered a conduit.
Thank you.